morning. Now, it really means a lot to me to be able to preach here in the church that I grew up in. You know, everybody here who has loved me my whole life and has contributed and invested in me, and it's why I am where I am now, and why I've been able to give my life to Christ because of all you people. So I just want to thank you all for doing that for me and loving me. But before we get started, I want to go ahead and pray. But Heavenly Father, I lift this service up to you today. I lift these people up to you. I pray that your Holy Spirit is here in this service. I pray that you speak your message to your people. I pray that our hearts are open to receive what you want us to say. I pray, Lord, that you only let things come out of my mouth that you want them to hear. And I pray that you just be with this service. The Holy Spirit be felt. May the presence be real. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I first was thinking about what I was going to preach on, I was thinking that I was going to preach on God's mercy and how God is a God who gives us multiple chances. But as I continued to pray on it, Steve's giving me a message up there. Sorry, guys. As I continued to pray on it and think about what the Lord wanted me to preach on, he really just revealed to me that his love is why everything else can be. We have his mercy because he loves us. We have his grace because he loves us. And every good thing that we have that comes from him is because that God intentionally loves us. God's love is intentional. And God's love is unconditional. And God's love is sacrificial. And God's love transforms us. I'm going to read out of Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, because we can see from the very beginning that God loved us. And this whole book, this whole Bible, it's God's love letter to us. It's how he reaches us. So we're going to be going through a lot of different scriptures today, quite a bit. But that is to show that this is God's love letter to us, and that you can see his love all throughout the scriptures. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And Genesis 2:7 goes on and says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." God made us in his image, intentionally. And God intentionally breathed his breath to give us life. That didn't just happen. He did it because he loved us intentionally, and he wanted us to be in communion and relationship with him. Psalms 139:13-18. "For you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place." Now, I don't know how much you guys know about knitting, but knitting is difficult. And it takes thought and a lot of foresight. You just don't throw together and knit a blanket beautifully. It takes a lot of intentionality and foresight. And God, when he knitted us, when he made us, it says he knitted us in our mother's womb. From the bottom of our feet all the way up to our heads. And to the things that we may think are flaws, God made them intentionally and sees us as beautiful. He knit us intentionally. Psalms, I think I missed some verses. When I was woven together in the of the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And like I said, with the foresight, when you go back to verse 16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. When I read that, makes me see that God had a purpose for us. And he has things that he wants us to accomplish. And that he loves us. Next, verse 17, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Where I count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. When God thinks of us, he thinks precious thoughts. Everything that he created us to be in relationship with him. He never wanted us to fall away from him. That wasn't his plan. Matthew 18, verse 12 and 13. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. This is God intentionally pursuing us. Even when we stray away, he goes after us. And he's happy when we come back to him. And heaven rejoices when we come back to him. And God's love is unconditional. I think you guys might know the story of the prodigal son. There was a father and his two sons, and this man was a wealthy man. But he had two sons, and the younger son just wanted to get his inheritance early. He wanted to go out and do whatever he wanted. He didn't want to do what the father had for him. So the father just went ahead and gave him his money. And he just spent his money on foolish things. He probably went out drinking, spent his money on women, tried to buy friends. But, you know, he never found true happiness and love there. And when all the money was gone, all his friends were gone. He didn't have anything left. So he went and worked for a man who fed pigs. And as he was feeding these pigs, he was like, man, what am I doing here? My father's servants are eating better than this. And here I am eating the pig slop. So he decided to humble himself and swallow his pride and go back to his father, and he thought he was going to go back to his father and say, I'm not even worthy to be your son anymore. I have completely sinned against you, and everything I've done against you was just terrible. So that's what he had planned. So he started marching up there, and that's what he was going to say to his father. But before he could even get to the house, his father saw him from way up the road. And opened up his arms and said, my son is home. Come in. Come here, my son. And he throws a party for him and kills the fatted calf. And you know what? That is what God does for us. Even when we have strayed away from Him, God continues to love us unconditionally. And we can always come back, go back home. Now, there was a time in my life when I started to go down a slippery slope. And Satan told me lies and told me that, you know, God has hardened His heart against you. You can't go back. Or if you can't go back, it's going to be very difficult. But you know what? This is not the truth. This is a lie that the devil tells us. Romans 8:37-39 says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from His love. So if the devil's been telling you, or you have something in your head that says you can't go back to God, you can. The prodigal son, right there. And in Romans, it tells us that nothing can keep us from the love of Christ Jesus. And Jesus and Peter, walking on the water, Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. And Jesus just put out His hand and pulled him up. He pulled him out of sin with His loving hand. And that is what He does for us. When we fall into sin, Jesus puts out His hand and pulls us out. But because of our disobedience to God, we are sinful. And this is where God displayed His sacrificial love to us. Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, if you look in the verse, it says, "The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The gift is free, but it still came with a price. It's free to us, but there was still a price that had to be paid. And Jesus paid that price on the cross. He died on the cross for our sins so that we could live in eternity. He made a way when there was no way. And Christ sacrificed Himself for us while we were still living in sin, and with no guarantee that if He did give us this sacrifice, that we would accept it in the first place. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still living in sin, when there was no guarantee that we would come back to Him, He still did it. He thought that we, even the chance, the small chance of us coming back to Him, it's worth the sacrifice to Him. That's how much He loves us. And you know, the people Jesus came to save were the ones who denied and crucified Him. And that was okay with Him. He still died for their sins. Even though they spit on Him, and they rejected Him, and they were the ones who killed Him, He still chose to die for their sins. And while Jesus was dying on the cross, He cried out, "It is finished." Our debt was paid because of His sacrifice. "It is finished." That's what He yelled. Because He knew that it was done. The price has been paid. John 3:16. For God so loves the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We just have to believe in him and accept him into our hearts. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We confess our sins to him, and he is faithful and just. He will forgive them, and he'll purify us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't just keep us in sin, but he purifies us from all unrighteousness. And God's love transforms us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Romans 6:1-2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? He's transformed us because of his love. When we connect to Christ and let his love pour into us, it changes the way we live. We don't live the same life that we used to live. And you know, for some of us, it may take some time. But there's another verse that I don't have on here. But it says that with what he starts, he completes. Romans 6:6-7, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. We're no longer slaves. Isn't that great? That we're no longer slaves to sin. We're not slaves to the addictions that we might have. We're not slaves to whatever else might be holding us back in this world. We're not slaves to it because he paid the price for us and set us free. And he gave us a heavenly reward. Philippians 3:20-21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. So because of this great gift that he's given us joy here on earth, but he's also given us heavenly home where all the things that may have, all the problems of this world, we no longer have to deal with when we get to heaven. And he'll transform us and give us a new body. This was what he did with us, for us. And his love is all through the Bible. The whole Bible is God's love letter to us. You just have to look. And his love is there. Where we're going through our hard times, God's there and he loves us. When we're not serving God, he still loves us, and he made a way for us to come back to him. I don't know what you guys are going through today, and I don't necessarily know why the Lord placed this on my heart today to share it with you about God's love. It seems like such a simple message. But it's really the foundation of everything that we believe. Because there wouldn't be any of it without his love. Why would our earth wouldn't even be here? There's no point. There'd be no point. And you know, he gave his son for us to die for us, for our sins. And that was enough. If you haven't accepted Christ in your hearts, now is the time. The scriptures tell us that today is the day of salvation. And I know pretty much everybody here, but you never know if somebody has accepted Christ in their hearts. So I'm making the option available, because I think it should always be open. And, you know, if you just need to come up and pray and just connect with God, that's okay. The altars are always open. I pray that today that the Lord will just be with you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this church. I want to thank you for these people and for placing them all in my life. Pray, Lord, that you go with each and every one of them through their week, and you be with them, and you give them encouragement when they're feeling down, and you constantly remind them of your love. And Lord, I pray that you just be with our church, with everything that's going on with us right now. I pray that you help us as we look for a new pastor. You know who you want us to have. You already have them picked out. I pray that you be with that person. And Lord, I pray that you just give them a love for our community. Give them a love for our church. Give them a burden for our church and for our community. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.